This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We are in Leviticus chapter 14, and we are dealing with ceremonial cleansing from leprosy. And if you remember from last week, leprosy is it's a disease of the skin. It can actually become fairly horrific. It attacks the nerves in the skin, which cause all kinds of deformity. It is a bacteria. It's a slow-moving bacteria. It doesn't move very fast, and it gets in, and it destroys everything. And if you'll notice, it's a disease of the nerves, so it is a picture in the scriptures of being desensitized to the results of sin. Sin gets into your system. You're out there in the world, and you ain't have a sense of touch. You don't have the sense of smell or taste or whatever the bacteria is. You don't have those sensations, so you really can't make an application as to how things are. You really don't have a good perspective on your life or how the sin is destroying your life. And obviously, God had a method, and we saw that in the last chapter, of separating those who had leprosy, which is, like I said, it's a picture of the sin of the world on a person, and how to identify it, how to send them outside the camp, how to separate his people from those people, and although those people are his people, it's a picture of how to look and see the effect of sin in our lives. Now, obviously, once you have the identification of sin, you're always in Scripture going to have, you're going to have the atonement, the sacrifice, the cleansing, the God stepping in and overcoming sin by His grace. And obviously, after chapter 13, you're going to have chapter 13. And chapter 13 is how to pronounce somebody ceremonially cleansed from leprosy. Now, you say, well, when somebody got leprosy back then, they all died. No, not everybody died. In fact, it was a slow-moving disease, and so not everybody even would die of leprosy if they had it their whole life. Also, some people had natural immunities to it, natural strengths in their immune system to overcome sin and overcome the leprosy. And there were methodologies by which people were cleansed. And then when we see Jesus, and because leprosy is so terrible in the Old Testament, when you get to the New Testament, and Jesus has the power to heal and to make whole from leprosy, then you realize that the only hope, the real hope that we have is Jesus, and the only real hope that we have for sin is Jesus. There are those out there in the world who can practice certain sin, they can wrap in certain sin, and it seems not to bother them, just like they would have in the times of the Israelites and leprosy. There are those who had a natural immunity to what seemed to be the effects of leprosy. And so then we have people walk around, and it looks like it gives the appearance that they have a immunity to the natural effects of sin. That's not true. It's not the case. It does. That's not something that actually takes place. And when we're studying through these things, you need to realize that just because you perceive that sin doesn't have its full effect on anyone, it does. It says, the Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for the diseased person at the time of their ceremonial cleansing. Notice, this is a ceremonial cleansing. This is a picture of the cleansing of a person from sin. Once God slipped in, once there's been healing, once God has delivered them from the consequences of sin, delivered them from the penalty of sin, once God has done that, then there needs to be a cleansing, and that is a picture of what God does in the salvific process. Remember, this is all about, really, the process of salvation. It says here, may they be brought to the priest. The priest is to go outside the camp. Notice, we go to get them. The priesthood is a picturesque, and we live outside the camp. We don't stay in the tabernacle. Why? Because they can't come to the tabernacle. They don't have it ready to get there. Remember what that is? They're separated out. And when you understand sin in the world, you need to understand that we have a duty. We have a responsibility. We talked about that yesterday in worship. We have a duty and responsibility to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ, to go tell people about what God has done in our lives, to give them an account of what God has done in our lives so that they can hear it. And so that those who are searching for a way that might have an opportunity to know. And also when we go and deal with the leper, you've got to go outside the camp. And the priest did go outside the camp. If they heal of a defiling skin disease, which is a picture of being born again, a person who is now turned from their sin. Then it would have been somebody who had actually been healed. And by the way, this wouldn't have happened much. Unlike today, where sin is defeated in somebody's life through Jesus Christ. In those days, that's not the case. But in today, it's true. The priest shall live that two live clean birds and some clear cedar wood, scarlet yarn, hyssop, be brought to the person to be cleansed. Notice, we're bringing these things outside the camp. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over the fresh water in the clay pot. Now, that's a beautiful picture of Jesus. Right there, you have a bird, a heavenly being, being killed in a clay pot, which is a picture of a vessel, and it's filled with water, which is the Holy Spirit. And you have what is clearly a picture of Jesus, a heavenly God's own son coming down from heaven and being killed in a clay pot filled with the Holy Spirit, which would be a picture of his own body. And then the priest is ordered that the bird is to be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop. And cedar wood would be a picture probably out of the cross. Jesus probably was crucified on some form of cedar wood for that area of the world. That would have been the strongest and the largest type of wood to find. The cedars of Lebanon, as scripture calls it, but just the cedar wood would have been the biggest and easiest piece of wood to use. Thorn of wood to use as a cross. The scarlet yarn's a picture of God's word throughout the process. God's word is involved. And then hyssop is, remember, that's the plant that they used to spread the blood of the lamb over the doorpost in Egypt. It is a picture of God spreading his grace on his people. They're to take that dead bird with its blood in the water, in the vessel, and they're to take that and place the scarlet yarn and the cedar wood there, God's word in the crucifixion, Jesus Christ, and they're to take the hyssop and dip it in and sprinkle it over the person. Seven times shall they sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease and then pronounce him clean. After that, he's to release the live bird in the open field. It's a picture of being cleansed and being freed from sin, because the live bird, one is killed so that the other might be free. Christ died so that we might be saved, so that we might be made whole. It's a picture of salvation. And that is the process by which a person was to be ceremonially cleansed. The person is to be cleansed, must wash their clothes. Notice, once God has done his work of grace, there has to be some activity. There's got to be something that happens. And what is that? One of the things they got to do is they got to wash their clothes. Notice your clothes are the picture of your covering of sin. You've got to go and begin to work in your faith and cleanse your clothes. Make your clothes clean. Make your covering clean. And you go, well, I thought God delivered us from sin. He does. But remember, we got to walk in it. We got to walk in it by faith. And when we walk in it, that's a picture of cleaning our clothes. He's supposed to shave off his hair and bathe with water. Then you will be ceremonial cleansed. Now, notice there is the shaving off of all the hair on their body. Now, there's a real reason for that as far as the bacteria. That's a good way. Bacteria love to hang on to hair. And that's an easy way to get reinfected with the bacteria. So there was a real natural, real scientific reason for shaving off all the hair. And by the way, once they were cleansed, then you're not supposed to go into the tent. In fact, it says, but they must stay outside their tent for 7 days. Notice there is still a time of separation. And when you're abandoned sin, you're struggling with sin, you can't go back immediately to the things that you were doing. So many times, especially when I'm dealing with drug abuse, if somebody's got some kind of substance abuse, they're told, once you're clean, once you've wept with God through this process, once you've gained the strength to overcome this thing, you don't go back to where it started. You don't go back there. You stay away from that. Now, could you go back one day? Sure. But that's after you've wept on it for a while. 7 days is a picture of a complete period of time. And so what God's saying is that you can't go back to the place where you indulged and engaged in sin and expect to be able to handle it. You're gonna fall right back into it. And so this picture is a picture of staying away, separating yourself from those things that so easily entangle you into sin. And the cutting off the hair is to remove any possibility of reinfection. On the seventh day, they must shave off all the hair. They must shave their head, their beard, their eyebrows, and the rest of their hair. They must wash their clothes and bathe themselves with water, and they will be clean. Notice, it's a complete process. God's work of salvation is not to be a limited process, not to be a short process. It's to be a complete process. And salvation is a wreck. It's not an event. It's a process. And it takes time. It takes you actually walking it through. And notice, on the eighth day is the day of new beginning. Once we've walked it through, they'll bring two male lambs, one ewe lamb and a ewe, each without defect, along with 3/10 of an ephah. That's about a sixth of I guess 3/10 of an ephah would be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 5, maybe 6 liters of the finest flour, for a grain offering, and one lager barrel. The priest who pronounces them clean shall present both the one to be cleansed and the offering before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. You go, that's a cleansed. Why do you have to offer an offering? Because remember, we want not only to be cleansed, to be delivered from sin, but we want to have the power over sin. And remember, we're offering ourselves as an offering. This is a picture of offering your life as an offering to God. And that's how you walk in the power of God. That's how you walk in a place where you are completely delivered from God, is that you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You're giving, and by the way, this sacrifice was a pretty hefty one financially. And oftentimes, if you think about it, in our worship service, when we come to that time of giving our offering, it's also a time where we give of ourselves. It's a time of where we lay ourselves down on the altar, where we present ourselves as living sacrifices. And there is a natural tie there. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, then the priest is to take one of the male lambs and offer it as a gift offering along with the lamb of oil. He shall wave it before the Lord as a wave offering. And that's one of those recognitions. Oh God, here am I am giving you myself. And in fact, in our worship service, that's pictured in raising your hands. He says he's to slaughter the lamb in the sanctuary area where the sin offering and the burnt offering are slaughtered. Like the sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe, the right ear, and of the one to be cleansed, and the thumb of the right hand of the one to be cleansed, and the big toe of their right foot. Notice this is a picture of faith. I want you to hear me. It's a picture of faith. I put it on my ear. I hear what God says. I put it on the thumb of my right hand, upon what God says. And then once I've heard him, believed him, put upon it, I live it out in my life. I walk it out in the rest of my life. It's a picture of faith. And so this offering is a picture of our faith offering. It's a picture of us trusting God and living out what God has delivered us from or saved us from. So we hear it, we act upon it, and we live it out in our lives. He says, the priest shall take some of the lager oil, pour it in the palm of his own left hand, dip his right forefinger in the oil in his palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of it before the Lord 7 times. This is a picture of an anointing of what? The anointing of power. Once a person has been delivered from sin, once a person has trusted God, we've got the word of God, we've got the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We've got all those pictures. Once we have that, we want to walk in power to overcome sin. And leave that erecting power to be light to the world. He says, once you do that, you're going to take that oil and you're going to dip it. He's going to put it in his hand and dip it. And he's going to sprinkle it over the person seven times, which is a picture of the anointing of power. The power to walk, well, as Jesus did. That's what he's talking about. The power to walk as Jesus did. He says, the priest is to put some of the oil remaining in his palm on the lobe of his right ear, as the ones to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot, on the top of the blood of the guilt offering. Notice, he's done it twice now. We do it to learn how to walk in our salvation, and then you begin to hear God speak to you about the big things of life, and you begin to do it to walk in the power, the anointing of God and his salvation. The rest of the oil in his palm, the priest shall be put on the head of the one to be cleansed and make atonement for them before the Lord. Wow. A couple of verses there. We're going to spend a couple of days in this cleansing process and talking about the cleansing process. But I wanted to make sure I laid those pictures out for you so that you could see them before we moved, that God has a plan for our deliverance. He has a plan for us to be made whole, for us to be delivered from sin and made whole. He has a process by which to do that. The priest goes out to the people. The people don't have to come into the tabernacle because they can't. They got to stay outside the camp. You got to go out to the people. We go to them. They are healed. They're made whole. They heal the good news of Jesus Christ. Then there's a sacrifice that is made for that. And that sacrifice is done inside the camp. And it's a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus. You have the vessel, the rock filled with the Holy Spirit, the bird, the heavenly creature, and the blood mixed in, and then you pour the oil in, and you anoint them out there, and then all of a sudden, they're clean, they come in, they clean their clothes, they shave the body of any of the bacteria of sin, then all of a sudden, you present the offering for their sin offering, you place it on their earlobe, their hand, and their foot, and then they begin to hear God's word, believe God's word, act upon God's word. On the eighth day, once they wrap that out for a while, remember, they can't go back in, even though they can come back into the camp, they can't go back in their tent. You can't go back to the old age. You can't go back to the things you used to do. And then all of a sudden, you have the final power of God beginning to move, and you bring them before the priest for their complete cleansing, but more than that, for their anointing and power. And the same process happens. You take the oil, you place it on the earlobe, the hand, and their foot, and they begin to walk in power. This is a picture of God's cleansing and delivering and empowerment through the sin of our lives. Wow. Takes a little while to go through it. Takes a little while to walk in your thought process, but God always gives us those pictures. And we dig deep right in the dead middle of the book of Leviticus, and we find God giving us a picture of sanctification in its fullness, which ultimately is to be the power of God at work in our lives in the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.